I experienced a very interesting traumatic story last night that maybe we could learn up something from. It was about 10:45. I was sitting in my study and I get a phone call. It was my downstairs neighbor telling me that she hears something by her window. And her husband's by the directory, of course. So I go downstairs and she told me she thinks it's an animal. I go downstairs and I peek through the window shade at, like, you know, those window wells in the basement. And I see definitely an animal there scratching, running, something, you know, wild. So obviously the animal must have been stuck. So I thought I'm going to call Chaverim. I go back upstairs, I call Chaverim. Chaverim tells me, what type of animal is it? I said, I don't know. Okay, we'll put out a call, someone responds, we'll give you a phone call that he's coming. Now for 45 minutes, Kamat, I guess they all at Adirei Torah, and for 45 minutes, I'm almost, no one's calling back, no one's responding. Finally, someone calls me, and he says, oh, so after that, they asked me what type of animal. I said, you know, let me go check what type of animals. I went down myself again just to see, and I looked through the window, and I see a white stripe across the animal, and I realize this is probably like a baby skunk. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this sounds really exciting. So I had called someone to Google if baby skunks to spray, and baby skunks, right when they're born, even if they can't jump out of the window well, they're able to spray. That much seemed to be what they say in Google. So the guy calls me about 45 minutes later, and he asks, what type of animal is it? I said, I think it's a baby skunk. I'm sorry, I don't do skunks. He said, you know, I just helped someone with a rabbit in a window well, it happens to be, but I can't do skunks. Maybe, but the call's out there, maybe someone else will respond. Okay, sit back down, I'm waiting again. It's close to an hour, and, you know, she's getting nervous, everybody's getting nervous, the animal's like making noises by the window and through the gravel and all that. So my wife calls my brother-in-law, you know, a guy who knows a little bit, you know, he says, there's another organization called Chavivim. Call them. I said, really? So he gives us the number. We call Chavivim, and the guy responds, and he says, I'll be there in 2 minutes. Literally, he says, I'll be there in 2 minutes. I thought, that's amazing. I said, it's a baby skunk. I'll be there in 2 minutes. So I right away go outside. 2 minutes is very short. I go outside, and also the guy's pulling up. I realized Chaverim's pulling up. The guy showed up without even calling me. So the guy from Chaverim jumps out. He's wearing, puts on gloves, and he has this huge net. And he asks me, where is it? I show him, I said, you want to come in the basement to see from the window? No, no, I'll go straight to the window well. So he goes to the back of the window well, and with his flashlight, and he tells me, you have two baby skunks in your window well. I was like, oh, that sounds great. So he has this huge net, and I ran like back to the street. Like, I'm not actually getting sprayed or anything. I'm like 100 miles away from him, and he's going there and scooping up the skunk with his net, like fearless, literally. And he scoops up, I see the first one, and he just like throws it like onto the grass, and it starts running down my side of the house. And all of a sudden, he comes running back to me. He's like, it just sprayed. I'm done. He's like, I'll give you a phone number. There's one guy in Lakewood that's going to collect live animals. Nobody in Lakewood does. You call him tomorrow, but I can't do anything. I'm going to myself, there's still one down there as it is. His other one's running loose over here. And he's telling me, I got to call first tomorrow. The kids are, all of a sudden, three cars show up from Chavivim. Mamas, three guys jump out of the car from all the different cars. Mamas, like, Mamas, a matzah. And they're like, what's going on? I said, there's a skunk, whatever. And they see, like, on the side, there's one skunk's running along the thing. They run by it. And there's another one in there. They didn't have any nets or anything. They come with their gloves. And they look inside. They said, okay, let me get a box. and they open up the yellow garbage can, they take out a box, and the kids are like, they start like, you know, tzitzuking to try to get this skunk. And I think after a few minutes, they realize without a net, they're not getting the skunk. So like, and they realize that the other guy had a net, the guy for Chaverim, he's already packing up his car in the front, he's like already pulling out. The kids are so, these guys are running over to the guy, he was cleaning his net because it got sprayed on and all that. He's like, can we borrow your net? So he was nice enough, he lent it to them. And they came back. And first they scooped up the one in the alleyway, they dumped it in a box. Like, they did mamish. It was amazing. Like, you know, it's like something that I would get 100 miles away. These guys are all in it. And then they go into the window well, they scoop up the next one. And the kids, they put both of them in boxes and they run across the street to the church and dropped it off over here. And the kids are like, Baruch Hashem, like in 10 minutes, you know, the place stunk because it was spraying all over the place. Well, my, so they got it all done. And I'm sure there are a lot of things you can learn up from this maisa. This is way after 12 o'clock at this point where we finally got rid of all of them. But the message I realized, these guys from Chavivim came really determined. They really, like these guys, I was very impressed with them. They were driven to get it done and literally fearless with their gloves on. They were ready to just jump in. La maisa, to catch a skunk, they needed a net. And they just couldn't do it. And without the right tool, they couldn't get done what they were determined to do. If you're missing a tool, you can't get to the results no matter how determined you are. And I realize that it's a gewaltige Mussar Haskil for us to realize you come after a yontif of Shavuos and you're determined to be Matzliach. Baruch Hashem, you're steiging away in first year based medrash and you have big goals and aspirations for yourself. And lemaisa, if you don't have the tool to get there, no matter how determined you are, and no matter how many Adira Torah events you go to, if you don't have the tool, somehow you can't get there. And the shaila is, what's the tool that's going to get us there? There's a mitzvah in the Torah that I think is a tool that answers this question. This mitzvah in the Torah, we talk about it twice a day in Kriya Shema. It's something that even though we do this mitzvah, we don't even realize what we're doing. And in Melo, we don't chap, we have that tool in our toolbox. It's the Gevaldika mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis, believe it or not, is a tool that could change your life. You just have to recognize what this tool is. We say in Kriya Shema, Ure'isem oisoy uzchartem es kol mitzvois Hashem. You'll see your tzitzis and you'll remember all the mitzvahs. And then Emelo, Veloisasuru, Achre Lavavchem, Achre Nechem, Asher Atem Zoinem Achreyem. You won't stray after your eyes to stray away. Lamantizkuru, Vasisim, is called Mitzvaysai. The Sapornoi teaches up these psukim. Zok the Halika Sapornoi. Uriisa Moisai. You're going to see it, Sitsis. Uzchartem, Tizkeru, you will remember, Sha'atem Avodim Lokel Yisborach. You're going to remember that you're a servant to Hashem. Vishikibaltim mitzvahs of Yumakabal, all the mitzvahs, Ba'ala of Shvua. By being a Yid, you took on all the mitzvahs. And how does that happen when you see your tzitzis? Vizeh bir'oisim, it's because when you see hatzitzis, Shehu kechoisim hamelech ba'avodav. It's the seal of the king that shows you belong to Hashem. Ubazeh techdulu mitur achre levavchem. You're going to stop straying away after your heart. Achashrivus libchem, the freedom of your heart. Ba'oysher v'chavoid, running after things in this world. Achre aynechem, lahasik taivos. Because when you see it tzitzis, you realize you're wearing the seal of the king. I want to tell you a true story. Once I was in Walmart, and I'm walking down the aisle. It was late at night, and I'm looking for something I needed. And all of a sudden, a big, tall, dark-skinned fellow started coming down the aisle also. And it was pretty quiet at Walmart, and I had this frightening feeling of this guy coming towards me, and I'm going towards him. And all of a sudden, as I got closer, I realized he's wearing a beige outfit, and he had the BMG logo on his shirt. And I felt so much better that he's part of BMG's staff. I felt like he's not going to start up with me. I just felt good. I was reassured. That logo showed what he belonged to. And Emela, I knew he's not starting up with me as a Jew because he's with Jews all day. When we wear tzitzis, we're wearing Hashem's emblem in ourselves. We're wearing the tzitzis shows what we belong to, and it reminds us that I'm not running after the freedom of this tricky, dark Olam Hazeh, running after all my taivas and desires. I belong to something. The tzitzis reminds you of all the mitzvahs, that I have a role and a goal of what I'm trying to reach here in this temporary world. The Sepurna Yenzuf, Laban Tizkeru. By doing this, you will remember Tiyu Pnuyim Mimachshavos Hevleyim. Your mind will be empty from filling it with the Hevel of Olam Hazeh. Ubazeh Tizkeru, you will remember Goydel Hakel, the greatness of who Hashem is, the Almighty, the Chasda in His Chesed. And therefore, Vasisim is called Mitzvaysoi. And you will do all the mitzvahs be'ava me'ira. V'yisim kedoshim l'keichem. And then, v'zetiyu kedoshim l'chaye olam. For eternal life. Wearing your tzitzis reminds you of your role in this world. And that's going to gain you the eternity, the olam haba, that we're here in this world to gain and acquire in this temporary world. I once heard a Moira Dika Shmuz from Zechariah Wallerstein, Zatzal. He was speaking about making a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You have to learn how to have a relationship. It can't just be that we're just robots. Like, for example, in the morning, you just dump on your tzitzis, you don't even know what you did. It's part of your dress. You button your shirt, and you dump on your tzitzis, and you tie your shoes. It has to be a relationship. You have to realize what you're doing in all your avodas Hashem. So he said over like this, he said, you know, I one time had a parrot. I owned a parrot. And my parrot was a parrot that spoke. Every parrot, some of them different things. My parrot used to say, "You're beautiful." That's what they trained it to say. So I would come home after a long day of work and walk into my front of my house, my dining room, and the parrot go, "You're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful." And like, the morning I wake up, come downstairs, pass by the parrot, "You're beautiful." And all throughout my day, whenever I pass by this parrot, it would remind me, "You're beautiful, you're beautiful." He said, "Do you think I felt beautiful by the parrot telling me I'm beautiful?" He said, "This is a parrot with no brains telling me I'm beautiful. I didn't feel beautiful because the parrot says you're beautiful. Because it's telling me with no brains." He says, when we go ahead throughout our day, we have 100 opportunities to make brachas to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Baruch atah Hashem, you are the source of all bracha. And you realize, shakol niyeh b'dvarai. He says, do you realize you say without brain, you sound like a parrot? Baruch atah Hashem, Baruch atah Hashem, Baruch atah Hashem, Baruch atah Hashem. That's all you're saying all day long. You sound like a parrot. You're beautiful. What are you doing? Without brains? Where's the relationship? Mari Dika Musa Haskell is telling us. We have to do things for real. We have to relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tzitzis is one of those examples that we can't just be a robot and put on our tzitzis like we tie our shoes. We have to put on our tzitzis realizing I'm putting on the Ribbono Shel Olam's emblem. It's the uniform and the seal of Hashem that I'm wearing that reminds me of my role here in Olam Hazeh. You know, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh also talks about this in the end of Parashat Shlach, and he brings down the lashon of the Gemara in Shabbos. Kavlo de'avdo. It's the seal of an Eved that shows who his master is, what he belongs to. And he says like this, V'hoyu lochem l'tzitzis, l'tzad sheheim avodim l'Hashem, because you're a servant of Hashem. V'eved oisa kavlo, every servant has his seal of showing what he belongs to. So to us, Yil lachem simin zeh. It's a simin to show who you belong to. Kishiyabitu b'simin avdusom. So when you're going to look at your tzitzis throughout the day, yitnu leiv. You're going to pay attention and realize sheinam b'nei choyrim lasas kechefzam. You're not a free man to just do what you want here down in Olam Hazeh. B'macholom, in what you eat. B'malbushom, in how you dress. B'diburom, in how you speak. U'v'chol ma'aseyim, in every action you do. I'm not a free man to do what I wish, but rather ke'eved she'emas rabbi alov. You're like a servant that has the fear of his master, that he knows he has to do what the master wants. Lamoid b'shosh sha'odem mitzav lamoid, to wake up when the king says wake up. V'las is kamalacha, I said, to do the work that the king asked you to do. This is what tzitzis reminds us of. Tzitzis reminds us that we're not just free people to live Olam Hazeh as we wish, but rather every little part of our day, the Ribbono Shel Olam has cheshbon of what he wants from you. And we're servants of Hashem. You know, Duv the Maggid said a mussel. In our sprach, in our terminology, the mussel would go like this. A guy rents a hotel room. And he's going to the hotel for a long time. And one day, the receptionist downstairs sees a painter coming in to the hotel. So he asks the painter, where are you going? So he says, I'm going to the fourth floor, room 409. He says, oh, that's strange. Like, I'm running the hotel, someone's having a painter come upstairs. Can imagine. Next day, there's a furniture delivery. Where are you going? Room 409. And the guy's thinking to himself, furniture delivery? What in the world? And then the electrician's coming in and putting up new fixtures, 409. And he's thinking to himself, after this happens a few times, he storms upstairs to the room and he knocks on the door and the guy opens the door and he says, what are the rules going on over here? You got the guy's painting and fixtures and furniture. He said, what do you mean? I'm paying for the room. He says, you might be paying for the room, but it's mine. So what do you mean it's mine? I'm paying. What do you... And he started having a whole fight to explain to him, when you pay for your room, you're just renting it. You don't own the room. You can't go ahead and just turn it over and do what you want. Zok the Duvna Magid, the same thing with tzitzis. Tzitzis reminds us, you're not living here, you know, it's my life, I do what I want. People always say, you know, it's my money, I can spend it as I wish. If I have a lot of money, I can make a chasana as I like. All these type of ideas. It's not true, and Yiddishkeit doesn't work like that. Where Avdei Hashem, tzitzis reminds us that every step of our day, the Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan of what he wants from you in this temporary world. But you don't own yourself and you don't own your life to do what you wish. Now we get appreciation. You know, it's brought down lahalacha when it talks about tzitzis. If you look in Simen Ches, in Sif Yud Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes, Ikur mitzvahs talis koton l'loiv shei al begodov. The main mitzvah of talis koton, our tzitzis that we wear, is to wear the top of your clothes. You know, this is an area where the Hasidim have a step ahead of us. You know, many times people have kanoyas against Hasidim and all that. This is somewhere where all Litvaks have to be maskim, that the Hasidim are a step ahead of us. L'maisa, they wear their talis koton, means they put on a tzitzit on top of their shirt, like Shulchan Aruch says. There's no Ramah here that says do otherwise. This is how it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Wear your tzitzit on top of your shirt. And that's how Hasidim walk around. Okay, Sakha's trying to do it. The point being is they have to realize the Hasidim have a step ahead of us in this area. Says the Mishnah Brura, Al Begodov, wear your talis on top of your clothes. The cost of a Mogen Avram, the Mogen Avram says that I'll call upon him. If you're not going to wear it on top of your shirt, Sorech Shiyu Atzitis Mivachutz. That much you have to have your tzitzis hanging out. V'loy ke'inoch, not like those people, she'toich v'loisoy be'aknofos, they tuck it into their pants. You tuck it in and you don't see your tzitzis, so it's under your shirt, so you don't see the begging itself at all, and you don't see the string because it's in your pants, and the melo, you get nothing out of your tzitzis. And state in posuk, re'isem oisoy, v'zchartem. You have to see it and remember. Says the Mishnah Brura, K'modichsiv, Rizem Oysa Yuzchartem, Oysam Ha'anoshim, those men, Ha'mesimim Ha'tzitis V'chasayim Shalohem, the people that put their tzitz in their pants, Loi Dai Shemalinim Alei Eineihem, Mimaydichsiv, Rizem Oysa Yuzchartem, not only are they being blind for the Tzitz V'ferish in a posuk, that you have to be able to see it to remember the mitzvahs, oid mevazim heim es mitzvahs Hashem. It's a bezoyin to the Rebbeinu Shlom's mitzvah. Va'asidim heim litan es adin al zeh. You're going to have to give judgment in Shemayim for such a bezoyin to the mitzvah that you tuck it into your pants. Ilu hoyo lohem eiz adoyim in imelech basav adom. Imagine you had a present from a king. Shechokok olov shei melech. And the name of the king is engraved in the present that he gave you. You'd always go ahead and put it on and make sure everybody sees the emblem. It says the name of the king on it. You know, a guy has a fancy tie. You know, so it's somehow his tie is always the other way. You know, everybody should know I'm wearing Armani, whatever the fancy ties are. But somehow it's always turning over. Why? You want everybody, you're advertising the company you're wearing. If you had something with a king, you'd advertise it. Kal v'chaymer b'tzitzis, Dr. Mishnah Brura. V'shua kal v'chaymer from tzitzis that Miramas al Hashem melech malchim malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us. V'shua our tzitzis we're proud of and we show it off. And especially it's there to remind you of your avodah that you have to Hashem. Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Chav Dalet, Toi v'nochoin liyos kol odom zohir lilboish talis koton kol hayoin. Make sure it's good and proper. You should wear your talis, your tzitzis, all day. K'nei sheyazki ha-mitzvahs v'chol regal. You should remember your mitzvahs every moment of the day. You know, Bacher many times asks, do you really have to wear your tzitzis when you play basketball? Is it mutter to take off your tzitzis maybe when you play basketball? Now, you have to ask a paisik, halacha l'maisa, what the halachas are. But if you understand what mitzvah tzitzis is about, the question already fades away. If tzitzis is about reminding us what I belong to, so when I play basketball, I want to play like I like to play. I talk the way I talk. I drink my drink the way I drink. The moves I make. Everything's me, it's my game of basketball. If you're wearing your tzitzis, you remember, one second, you're a Ben Torah playing basketball. And you talk like a mensch, you play like a mensch, and you drink like a mensch, and everything else you do differently because you're a Ben Torah. And I belong to something, there's instructions that come along with playing basketball. So, it's a whole different style already. Should I really take off my tzitzis? It's my whole reminder to keep me focused. And every part of our day is like this. Many times people think, you know, tzitzis is not really a chiyuv. It's only if you have four corners. Everybody gets so lumpish all of a sudden. And only if you have four corners do you have to have tzitzis. So maybe now I don't need it. I'm a little hot today. All the cheshvoinis. But if you realize what tzitzis are about and the opportunity of the mitzvah that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us, says the Shulchan Aruch, you wear it kol hayoyim to remember b'chol rega what the tachlis of a tzitzis is supposed to remind you of. You know, Parshas Nosoi is the longest parsha in the Torah. But if you think about it, if you read the parsha properly this past week, you could almost start thinking to yourself, it's the longest parsha for such a silly reason. If you realize, approximately 60 psukim in the Torah are just repeating the same thing again and again. Most of the parsha is just a repetition. And almost like you don't even need it, as if to say, because the Torah could have just told me, every day this Nasi, whichever Nasi brought his carbon, and he brought the carbon that we know everybody brought. You don't have to repeat it 12 times on each individual day, all the psukim of what the Nasi brought. They all brought identical carbonas. So all the psukim are repeating again and again, each individual day for 12 days straight, something that we figure out on our own. So why the Torah, why was it Meirich, 60 psukim long, something that the Torah wasn't necessary? This is a question that many Mefarshim ask. Over Shabbos this week, it really was pressuring my brain because, you know, we know there's no extra word in the Torah. Parsha Vayelech is only 30 psukim. Here you have an extra part of the parsha that's double Vayelech. It's just a pella. We know there's no extra words. So what's the message of the Torah by being so myrich in something that wasn't necessary? It's obviously not extra. The Torah is trying to drill in to every one of you. Get it into your brain and realize your individual chashivas that you have and it's not repeated. Every Nasui, bottom line is, he might be bringing the same, but it's really not the same. It's this Nasi today bringing it, and therefore it's not identical. There's nothing alike about it. And the Torah is trying to drive home this message. We don't realize it enough. Most of the time when we don't produce, Yitzi, you're listening. Most of the time when you don't produce, it's because you don't believe in yourself. You don't think you make a difference. You go and take a drink of water, you don't think your shahakol makes a difference to Hashem. You don't think you count. Whether you say it or subconsciously deep down, that's how you feel, that's how you live. And every little thing we do is like that. When we're sitting and learning Torah, we don't think our Torah is what makes the difference. And the Parshas Nosel is there to teach you that every individual, you as a yachid, it's you and Hashem in a relationship, and nobody else counts when it's you and Hashem. There's nothing else but you and Hashem. If you go to the bathroom, Hashem is waiting for your Asher Yatzar. There's nobody else in the world but you. Chayiv Adam Loimar B'Shvili Nivra Olam. This is where you chayiv to say it. The world is mine, it's me and Hashem in relationship. Tzitzis brings out your personal relationship as the only Eved Hashem. It's my avodah to you, Hashem, and nothing else exists. And it's a focus that you have to realize who you are. How you do make a difference. It's only your avodah that he's waiting for. In the Yerushalmi in Brachas, Yerushalmi makes a Moirid Dikadiyuk. It doesn't say, Re'isem Oiso, you will see the tzitzis. Inksiv Re'isem Oiso. Elo Re'isem Oisoi. Oisoi means him. Magid Zot Yerushalmi, Shekol hamikayim mitzvah sitzis kilu mekabel pnei shechina. When you're doing the mitzvah of tzitzis, you're being mekabel the pnei shechina of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That means not if you're a robot. If you just put it on like you put on your shoes, you're not having kabbalas pnei shechina. But if you realize when I put on my tzitzis, I'm signing up to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's avoda. And the tzitzis that hang out that I see reminds me of the 613 that he's asking of me. You are having a direct bond with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, a relationship. Re'isem oisoy, you're being mekabel pnei shechina. Pilei plom, unbelievable words. This is the clarity that we have to have in what we're doing when we put on our tzitzis and throughout the day when we're able to look at our tzitzis and remember our role in life. It's kabbalas pnei shechina. I just read a Mayudik Maisa with Moshe Feinstein. There was a Yid walking in the Lower East Side in Manhattan, and all of a sudden he heard a Mayudik noise, and it was a major accident. Tremendous accident on the street. And the guy looks up to see what's going on, and he sees a yarmulke flying. And he realizes the child that was hit must have been a Yid. And they called the emergency vehicles, the emergency response. So he realizes, you know something? Let me run upstairs. It's by Mamash Ramesh's corner. Let me run upstairs to Ramesh Feinstein and ask him to daven and give a bracha that this kid should survive. So he runs upstairs to Ramesh Feinstein and he comes flying into his room. Ramesh is sitting there harving and learning. And he tells him it's just a major accident and a Yid was hit and he needs a bracha. I don't know if he's going to survive. Ramesha looks at him and says, it's not a Yid. So the guy says, how did you see? I saw the yarmulke, whatever, but he's not a Yid. I'll tell you, the boy was a Yid. And Ramesha said, it's not a Yid. And he refuses to give a bracha because it's not a Yid. And he realizes he's not getting too far with Ramesha. Ramesha, for some reason, thinks it's not a Yid. Okay. He goes back downstairs. And sure enough, they're cleaning up the whole scene with the cars and everything. And he sees who they're putting into the ambulances. And he realizes it was a Hispanic kid. And somehow a Jew was running by and his yarmulke got blown off or whatever, and it wasn't even the Yid that was hit. So he went back upstairs to Ramesha Feinstein and he says, the Shiva has Ruach HaKodesh, he has Nevuah. How do you know it wasn't a Yid? So Ramesha told him, I was sitting and learning here. The Koyach of Torah is so real, it's impossible a kid will be hit right downstairs over here. It's just not possible. I don't have any Ruach HaKodesh. It wasn't Nevuah. Ramosha lived with clarity. He understood what Torah is. If the Schus of Torah is so powerful, downstairs is not going to be an accident. A kid be killed. It's just not possible. We have to walk in our Avodas Hashem with clarity. A tzitzis has to remind us with clarity our avodah of our purpose here in Olam Hazeh, in this temporary world. It's something that we forget. And tzitzis is there to remind us. That's the tool that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us. So instead, by us, tzitzis became just one of our robotic things that we do. We don't even realize we put on the tool. And we don't realize we tie our shoes and we put on our tzitzis. Chazal are telling us, and it's brought down Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, we have to focus and realize what the mitzvah of tzitzis is, to have that tool to help us throughout our day to keep focused in Avodas Hashem, to realize that Olam Hazeh is Hevel Avolim. Don't get distracted by the shtusim of this world. Realize it's more tachlis than just the temporary emptiness that Olam Hazeh offers. This clarity has to come from our begid of tzitzis. So it's brought down from the Tashbats, the Rashbats, Sefer Mitzvahs also, Mitzvahs asay listakel betzitzis. You mekayim a mitzvahs asay when you look at your tzitzis. Re'isa v'isay zchartem. Because when you see it, Rio mevil de zechira, v'zechira mevil de asiya. You see it, it makes you remember, and the remembering makes you act and do better. It brings you to asiya. So Mela, he says, Yumamish mekayim a mitzvah asay. When you wear your tzitzis and look at it. You know, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideya, in Simin Shin Nun Aleph, over there they're handling the Hilchas Kfuras Hameis, burying the dead person. And there's a very interesting Shaila brought down in the tour. Yesh oimim, sheyesh lahatil bohem. You should make sure to put on tzitzis. When you bury the mace, you wrap him with tzitzis. Yesh oimim, shloi lahatil. Those say don't put on tzitzis. And it's a grace of Shiloh if you should have tzitzis on or not. And the question is, we all know that our mace is finished with mitzvahs. It doesn't have the ability to do any more mitzvahs. Why in the world would you go wrap him in tzitzis? He's not doing mitzvah tzitzis. What do we gain? And it's a very interesting, it's a whole shayla in halacha, what we should do. The Bach brings down that when noyigim lahasir at tzitzis, he says that the minhag is taka to remove the tzitzis. It's a whole arichos about yet it is no tzitzis. What's this groysa arichos and handlerai? Mitzvah tzitzis is finished for the mace. There's no more mitzvah. So what's the Indian then? Oh, but the way we're explaining, it's much deeper than just a mitzvah. Tzitzis is not just about a mitzvah of the Mekayim, putting on tzitzis on your four quarters. Tzitzis represents the seal. It's the uniform that shows I'm an Eved Hashem. So that's the handle rai. Should we bury someone? Kfuras Hameis. Maybe should we bury it in his uniform? Oh, the grace of Shiloh. Now, Rashi itself, what's the word tzitzis mean? What's this word tzitzis? Rashi in Chumash translates. The word tzitzis comes from the pasuk meitzitz min acharakim. The Rabbeinu Shlomo watches from the cracks. He's always watching Klal Yisrael, pasuk Asher Hashirim. Tzitzis is a watch. You look at it, you see it, it watches you. It gives you protection, like we know so many meisim where people were in tzitzis and they gave them protection from close to death experiences and all that. It gives a gevaldik shmira. It's watching us because through it we watch the Rabbeinu Shlom's Torah and mitzvahs. That's the definition of tzitzis. It's a gevaldik tool that we don't realize enough. It's underappreciated. This gevaldika mitzvah, and it's an opportunity to mechazik ourselves to understand what we have, and our whole day could be changed if we start utilizing this mitzvah as a tool to help us realize what we belong to, the uniform that we're wearing. I saw an interesting shaila. They asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what's pshat? We have the black stripes on our talis katan. You have a wool beged or a real talus, there's black stripes. What's the black stripes about? Where does it come from? So Chaim Kanievsky answered, the reason why there's a mesorah in black stripes, he says, because kol odom yeshloi pasim shchoirim. Everybody has black stripes in them. Kuloi toiv, you think you're all perfectly good? Sometimes we need reminders to remember that we have some black stripes also. We have to refine ourselves a little more. There's more to work on. We're not done, like some people think we're done. There's so much more to grow and change and become better. Tzitzis has black stripes to remind us that we're still growing. We're still changing, becoming better people. Ein odom shehukulei toiv. Kol echod yesh lo chisorim. It's all Chaim Kanievsky's response to the question. Talis zelis ayurus la adam. Our talis katan atzitzis is there to give us this ayurus. Moridik, in our uniform, we get the reminder. I'm thinking now it connects to a skunk. A skunk is black with white also, you know? Just end off. See, it's very late. I saw once a mice brought down Mr. Julius Klugman. He's a big Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. He's a big Baal Tzedakah, a rich man. He used to go every year there to Yisrael. He was very close with Yeshivas Brisk. Officially, Rameyah Stern sent a message. You know, he used to always get in Rameyah Stern's Talmidim to Brisk. So when I was going, I'm saying he gave a whole list of names, but officially, like, he was one of those maybe three. Theoretically speaking, he was going to help me get in. It didn't work, the story of its own, but Akoponim. So he once went to Eretz Yisrael, and he asked Rav Shach. Mr. Klugman, he asked Rav Shach, how are we supposed to just go ahead and have simcha? Let's say, for example, on Sukkot, it's a mitzvah of simcha. Or in general, if there was Hashem b'simcha, you think it's a switch you just turn on the switch of simcha now. Let's say it's a yontif of Chag HaSukkot, so it's Chag Simcha Seinu, so all of a sudden, Zman Simcha Seinu, so you just turn on the switch. There's no switch. How does a person go ahead, yes, Rav Shach, just go ahead and have simcha? Rav Shach answered him. He says, when you say Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amim, which that's the davening that we say on a yontif, whether it's Sukkot or Shavuos, whenever it is, Rav Shach looked at him and said, is it possible not to turn molei simcha when you think about those words? Is it possible not? Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amim? Tzitzis is our announcement. Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amim. Tzitzis is the uniform of a Yid showing the world. Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amim. It has to fill us with excitement and simcha. If a person is not experiencing joy, happiness, excitement, enthusiasm, it's because he forgot about mitzvah tzitzis. Because if he's wearing his tzitzis and he realizes what he's doing and he's announcing Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amim, Zokrav Shach, it's impossible a person won't be molei simcha. The Rebbeinu Shem shall help us all be zeicha to utilize mitzvah tzitzis properly and get the chizuk from this tool that the Rebbeinu Shem gave us to grow Michael Ochoyel.